Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
All right, welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review. We're on Audio Boom as well. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Send us questions to answer on the show that way. Send us questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, a little bit later this week, we're going to have USA training camp in Chicago.
We sure are. It starts Wednesday, and it will be the big Tom Thibodeau reunion at the Advocate Center Wednesday, I believe. Thursday's at the United Center.
Advocate Center Wednesday, UC Thursday.
He knows both facilities very well, and that's what we are looking forward to. I'm sure he will say nothing controversial because he's been nothing but complimentary since he departed Chicago, even though that fire still burns deep inside of him toward, he pretty much hates the Bulls front office. It's pretty much the only way to put it.
I wonder if he's going to be disappointed that they fixed the water damage spot on the floor by the door at the Advocate Center. Are you not familiar with this? So the first year, so this past season was the second year they had the Advocate Center, because they used to play out, used to practice out in Deerfield before that. And so the first year of the Advocate Center, there was a spot on the floor right by where media enters to go onto the court where there was a little bit of water damage, so it was kind of bumpy. And it was, you know, since this is a brand new $60 million building, the running joke among a few of the reporters was that Tom left it there on purpose so that we would trip over it.
I did not realize that was a running joke. I guess I've missed the occasions when you've talked about that, but I know the exact spot.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, and they fixed it.
Okay.
They fixed it last season.
Bigger and better things, because see, Tom leaves, and then the Bulls get all the nice things except for the wins. No, none of that makes sense. They got him the beautiful, gleaming practice facility he was still here.
Well, they got a big-time free agent when he left, because remember his first offseason with the Bulls, he got hired in the summer of 2010, and that was when they went after LeBron and Bosh and Wade. They didn't get Wade then. They got Wade now, so I'm just stating facts here.
Well, it's been a year removed from that, though, and they did get Powell when he was here, who Tom loved.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, very true. And Powell, I guess, leads into our topic of conversation today.
Yeah.
It is the offseason. The only hard Bulls news we have today is today was Dwayne Wade's last day in China on his way back to Chicago, and thus concludes your hard Bulls news of the day.
He seems like he and Gabrielle had a very nice dinner in China. A lot of fruity drinks. I think they're very much about that life.
Yep. So we do look forward to his press conference on Friday, but we did have...
I wonder if she's going to be there. Are we going to get to meet Gabrielle Union?
Well, we did have a question on Twitter that said, from Bulls Fanatic 1, will Rajon Rondo be at Dwayne Wade's press conference on Friday? I guess we can just guess everyone's attendance right now. Gabrielle?
She'll probably be there.
I'll say this with certainty. I shouldn't say certainty, but I would bet my mortgage on Doug McDermott being there.
Oh, Doug McDermott's going to be there. I'll bet Bobby Portis is probably going to be there too, working out, just putting in work at the Advocate Center.
All
the young guys, Denzel might be there, Chris Felicio, Tony Snell might just be chilling.
If Jimmy didn't have a game that night, I would predict Jimmy would show up but not know what's going on, and he would be there to get in his workout like draft night.
He'd be like, wait, we signed Dwayne Wade? I didn't know this.
He'd be like, oh, wait, the NBA draft's going on? I had no clue I was in trade rumors. I'm just here to get a lift in, you know? Like the classic Jimmy Butler passive-aggressive move, show up at the Advocate Center on draft night, while your name is in trade rumors, and then act like, oh, it meant nothing, I was just getting a workout.
And now,
I mean, there's probably 20 gyms in the city he can go to.
Now, as far as the Rondo question, who was it that asked that question?
Bulls Fanatic 1 on Twitter.
I think that what Bulls Fanatic 1, and, you know, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, Bulls Fanatic 1, but I think what he was probably getting at was just that, you know, is Rondo also going to be part of the press conference? And Rondo already had his own press conference before Summer League, so I would guess that he's not going to be involved in the press conference. Whether he'll be there working out, he might, but he's not going to be involved in it.
I will say, I bet it has the potential, just for being an event, because Team USA's already here in town, which just brings more basketball people, brings more attention, brings more hangers-on, anyone, you know, bigger posses. Like, but then Dwayne Wade's a big deal. Like, this has a potential to be a crazy press conference. Just a lot of people, a lot of maybe weird questions, maybe weird happenings. I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, it's still kind of settling into me that Dwayne Wade is on the Bulls. Because, like, I mean, obviously we've talked about, like, the kind of impact he's going to have on the court. But, like, I like to think, I like to call this the mom test, because my mom is not a sports fan at all. But there are a handful of players that she knows because they are so, you know, such, you know, cultural figures. Yeah. Right, like my mom's not a sports fan at all. Like, she knows who LeBron is, she knows who Kobe is, she knows who Durant and Steph Curry are, she knows who Dwayne Wade is. He's one of those guys that really moves the needle culturally on that level, and there's only five or six of those guys in the league, and now one of them plays for the Bulls.
And that's why they're relevant this year. That's why I think they will be fun and entertaining. More to the point of whether they win basketball games.
Yes.
We did get a good question from Echo Foxtrot on Twitter. Like the name.
That's a good name.
How do you think the Bulls will fare at rebounding next season? Good question, because we've talked so much about, oh, they can't shoot from the outside, but they got guys that can slash to the hoop. How are these guys going to blend in with each other? But hey, rebounding's a big deal. Are the Bulls going to be good at it? And we want to preface this and start this by saying the Bulls were 12th in the NBA last year in overall rebounding percentage at 50.2%.
So that's out of all rebounds available during Bulls games. They got 50.2%.
And we go by rebounding percentage because rebounding margin's a terrible statistic that, we can send you a link. We can even put the link out on Twitter. I'll show you some. There's a lot of things wrong with rebounding margin. It's how much emphasis you place on offensive rebounding and getting back in transition in some occasions. And really, it boils down to how many shots. If you shoot and make every shot as an offensive basketball team, you're never going to get an offensive rebound. So that's a good thing, you know, if you make every shot. So a lot of things wrong with that. But rebounding percentage,
it's just straight up, how many rebounds are there to be had and what percentage of them did you get?
So they were 12th in offensive rebounding percentage last year in the league, 21st in defensive rebounding percentage. So it's a little concerning on the defensive end that they didn't get the job done last year. And I guess the biggest point of this, Pau Gasol has left. Joakim Noah has left. Pau Gasol, bad rebounder. I know he got lots of them.
That's been our whole thing with Pau. His counting stats were great, but he didn't actually make them better. In fact, you know, if we look at the margin, we looked at the on-off stats on NBA.com's official stats site, and the Bulls as a team rebounded better when Pau was on the bench than they did when he was on the court. When Pau was on the court, the Bulls got 49.6% of available rebounds, and it was 51% when he was on the bench. So the Bulls actually helped them rebound less, even though he averaged a lot of rebounds, because it was rebounds that he was either stealing from teammates or
just getting because he was tall and in the center of the lane and playing 34 or 36 minutes some nights. Joakim Noah, though, was a very good rebounder for the Bulls. They got nearly 55% of available rebounds with him on the floor. They got 49.3% when he was off the floor. That is a loss for them. The good news is they're plugging in Robin Lopez, who has a track record with the Knicks last year, with the Blazers a couple seasons prior to that, of being a good rebounder. His team's rebounding well when he's on the floor. Portland got nearly 52% of rebounds last year when he's on the floor, 50% when he's off.
This is his last year in Portland, right?
Yeah, no, that was New York. In Portland, it was a bigger difference.
No. Last year in Portland, it was 52 versus 50. When he was...
Oh, there we go. 52% with the Knicks last year. 47.7% when he was on the bench. So a big difference in the Knicks' rebounding ability next year. Or last year with Lopez on the floor. And he's going to get a lot of minutes, no doubt about it. I mean, he's going to fill those big minutes Pau played. And I know the Bulls have a 4- or 5-man big man rotation. And Chris Felicio will get minutes too. And he's been a good rebounder in the limited small sample size. But the Bulls should be good at rebounding, which might be good because... I think they'll miss some shots from the outside. Maybe they get some offensive rebounds.
That's very true. And they were a pretty good offensive rebounding team last year. I believe they were 12th in the league in offensive rebound percentage. But yeah, I mean, Robin Lopez is, at this point, I mean, obviously Fred hasn't made any final decisions about what the starting lineup is going to be. But just logically, it would seem like Robin Lopez is going to be penciled in as the starting center. And he has a, as we said, he has a track record going back a few years. His teams rebound better when he's on the floor than when he's not on the floor.
He moves well.
He boxes guys out.
Yeah, that was Powell's biggest thing. Powell just never boxed anyone out. Like, ever.
So even if Robin isn't getting all those rebounds himself, he's still boxing somebody
out.
He's
keeping someone away.
So somebody on the team is going to get the rebound, and that's really what matters more than how many rebounds per game
that's called,
Robin himself averages.
It's called team rebounding. The Bulls need to buy into it.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
And, you know, I mean, they're not trotting out a great deal of first-class defenders by any means out there.
No.
But if you have Jimmy Butler, Robin Lopez, I think Rondo and Wade, if they're engaged, can at least be effective, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're good at rebounding, like your defense can be fine. It can be a strength, you know, on a lot of nights against a lot of teams in the NBA if you follow a good game plan and such. And I know Jim Boylan, their assistant coach, associate head coach, does a lot of the defensive coordinating for the Bulls and, I mean, is willing to do different things. I mean, even in summer league, the Bulls showed some different pick and roll coverages. It seemed like just in their aggressiveness of kind of attacking ball handlers a little more because they didn't have Pau Gasol, didn't have Joakim Noah, and those guys didn't move as well on the perimeter, so they kind of sag back sometimes, and that's not putting a lot of pressure on. So if the Bulls can put a little more pressure on in moments defensively, rebound well, they could be fine defensively, and that's a good starting point.
It is, and you know, when you consider that, you know, the defense was a huge problem for them last year, and you know, it looks like, just on paper, it's not going to be a great strength of them this year, and you know, Fred Hoiberg is not reputed to be a defensive coach by any stretch.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that they got better at rebounding with, you know, swapping out Pau Gasol as a starting center and putting in Robin Lopez instead, like, that's going to be a net positive on that end.
Yeah, absolutely. Jan via email asks us, does Bobby Portis have a chance at challenging Robin Lopez for the starting center spot? Jan says, I see Bobby as a better fit with more upside. Also, do you see a possibility for a trade, specifically one involving Taj? Now, that's a lot of questions right there for the big man rotation, but just in general, how do you respond to that, Sean?
Well, as far as Taj, I mean, we've addressed this before, but I think it's very unlikely that Taj will still be on the Bulls 12 months from now.
Yeah.
I think he will be on the Bulls at the start of the season. Whether they move him at the deadline or just don't re-sign him for what he's going to get in free agency will just depend on how the season goes and if they can have an offer on the table that is something that will make them better or get them a future asset like a draft pick or something. I don't think Taj is really part of their long-term plans, but I would be, at this point, because it seemed like when, you know, before the Rondo and Wade stuff happened, when it seemed like they were just going to go super young, we thought, okay, they're just going to trade Taj this summer. At this point, they've made the moves that they've made. They were able to trade Dunleavy and Calderon to free up the cap space to sign Wade. They're not really, and then they've used their room exception and stuff already. So it's not like trading Taj for cap space is really going to get them anything right now because there's not a lot still out there on the market that would really help them that they could afford if they did that. So I think that Taj will start the season on the team, and it's about 50-50 whether he finishes the season.
I think it completely, getting Dwayne Wade changed the equation for the Bulls.
Right.
It was win now, get to the playoffs, be respectable. Make a run at whatever. I don't think anyone's mixed up, obviously, in championship aspirations, but it's just being more successful and Dwayne Wade being part of that.
And if you want to win games and make the playoffs, then Taj Gibson is a guy that's going to make you better.
So if the Bulls play well that first half of the season, trade deadline shortly after mid-February, the Bulls play well, they'll probably keep him. If they're struggling, if the fight is for a 7 or 8 seed again and not a 4 seed or something, then that's when you need to flip Taj Gibson in. Gar Foreman, well, I would like to say he would learn from the past trade deadline not trading Pau Gasol when they could have got some assets for him, but I don't know if he's learned or not. But I do think the front office is well aware of that, and I don't think they would do the same thing 2 years in a row if it's once again the battle for the 8 seed, but I still can't say with certainty, and I know that does nothing to allay or diminish fears for the fans.
Right, exactly. Now, the Bobby Portis at center question is a little bit more interesting. I would be very surprised, unless he just, like, blows people away in training camp. I would be very, very surprised if he started, at least at the start of the season. He could play his way into a starting spot at some point, or somebody could get injured. It's very possible. He started at points this season. This past season.
Yeah.
I think at this point, he's still raw enough. He's still unpolished enough. And I think he's going to be a very good player eventually. I think he is a backup at this point. And I think he projects long-term as a starter, but you know, Robin Lopez, you know exactly what you're getting out of him. He's a good rebounder. He's a good rim protector. He can do enough on offense that you can dump him the ball inside and he can score over somebody or post somebody up. He can do that. Like, there is very little risk in starting Robin Lopez. And so if the Bulls are trying to win and trying to get in the playoffs, I think that's the direction they're going to go, at least to start off. But maybe Bobby Portis just blows people away.
Yeah. Stay along the lines of...
First team all summer league, by the way, Bobby Portis.
That's very, very true. Facts only on this podcast, right? Facts only.
We only deal in facts. We don't deal in...
Well, sometimes we get some opinions.
We get some hypotheticals, but Bobby Portis was, in fact, named first team all summer league.
Staying along the lines of young guys, Dan on Twitter asks, what are reasonable expectations for rookie Denzel Valentine in terms of both minutes and production? Good question. I don't know minutes-wise. That will be interesting to see it shake out. Adding Wade after the Bulls had already drafted Valentine certainly cut into a lot of his minutes. But the Bulls also need to manage Dwayne Wade's minutes. They would like to keep him, I'm guessing, 28 to 30 on most nights or for an average, I'm guessing. Obviously, he can go 36 if you need him to.
I also don't.
But that's where they get in trouble injury-wise.
I also don't think Dwayne Wade is going to play 82 games in the season. He played 74 last season, and that was the most games he played in a season since 2010-11, which was the first year of the Big Three in Miami. And so it's not that he was injured the previous years before that, but it's just, you know, the Heat would just they figured out how to manage his minutes. They would rest him on back-to-backs. They would hold him out for like a precautionary thing here and there. Like Wade is gonna get a lot of minutes when he does play, but I think it's probably more realistic to expect him to play 60 games than 80, just because of how old he is, where he is in his career, you know, how they're gonna try to manage his minutes. And the Bulls, you know, post Tom Thibodeau, Tibbs would just run a guy out like that out there, if he's healthy enough to play. But like, the current regime of the Bulls seems like they're pretty committed to managing guys' minutes. You saw how cautious they've been with Derrick Rose over the last couple of years. So there's going to be opportunities there for some minutes. And then, but it's also like
the thing,
he's going to get a lot of backup minutes on the wing because he's probably already ahead of Tony Snell in the rotation.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, he's the backup to like Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade right now, but I guess Doug McDermott's the backup to Jimmy if you shift Jimmy to small forward.
But Doug might play some four also, though.
Yeah, so there's so many moving pieces and dominoes here. So Doug McDermott played about 23, 24 minutes a game last year. I would think so long as he keeps shooting the three ball, he'll get the same, maybe a few more. In an ideal world, he'd improve at defense and keep shooting more threes, have a little more space, and you give him a few more minutes a night. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you already got Jimmy Butler playing 36, 38, which I imagine he'll keep doing, because remember, Jimmy says when Jimmy plays basketball.
Yes.
Because the penultimate regular season game in New Orleans, Jimmy, the Bulls were already eliminated from the playoffs. I believe it was a Monday night. Been eliminated on a Sunday night when they weren't playing. And Jimmy had knee problems, and he told Fred he was going to play that night. And Fred didn't tell him no. No one above Fred told him no. No one in the organization told him no. So Jimmy is still going to get his minutes.
Absolutely.
A lot of minutes.
Rondo,
I mean, the Bulls have so many point guards in the mix too. Like, Valentine's not going to get a lot of minutes, point guard minutes at all. They have plenty of people there. He might have the ball in his hands and initiate the offense, but he's not really going to get those minutes when you put it on a spreadsheet or whatnot. So a lot of it's dependent, as you said, on Wade's health, but it's also dependent on how well Doug McDermott plays, how much they want to use him at small forward, or power forward, I believe.
Yeah, and the big thing with Denzel, as far as the production aspect of the question, how much he plays and how much he's a part of the rotation, is really going to depend on how he shoots, because he was a 44% three-point shooter this past season in college, and we know that the college three is a little bit shorter than the NBA three, but that's still a strength of his game. He did not shoot threes very well at all at Summer League, which, you know, it's Summer League, so you can't really read too much into it, but
He was really bad at Summer League on three, but he started 4 of 26.
Well, except for those couple of game winners that in the championship game, those couple of buzzer beaters. But anyway, what I'm saying is the Bulls have so few guys who are reliable outside shooters. We had a question yesterday about Rondo and Jimmy, and, you know, I think it's reasonable to expect Jimmy gets back to around a league average three-point shooting. But as far as guys who you look at and say, this is a guy that teams are going to have to pay attention to on the perimeter, it's Doug and it's Nico, and that's pretty much it on the roster. Jerian Grant hasn't really developed a consistent outside shot yet. He might at some point. Yeah. But Denzel, if he can knock down threes, there will be minutes for him to play.
Yep, very good point. Father Primable on Twitter asks,
hey, there we go. We're already getting Dwayne Wade-inspired puns on on Twitter. Shout out to Father Primable.
The best podcast listeners we could ever ask for.
Absolutely. We love every single one of our listeners, and we wish that every single one of you would go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review.
But he asks on Twitter, do the Bulls get a meeting with the three marquee free agents in summer 2017 who are Jordan brand endorsers? Those would be Chris Paul, Russ Westbrook, and Blake Griffin, and it's worth pointing out, Jimmy Butler, also a Jordan brand endorser.
That is an interesting question, because we've gotten questions on here before about whether the Bulls are going to get, you know, big names now that they got Dwayne Wade, and I'm pretty skeptical of that, but the Jordan aspect of it is something I hadn't really considered before, because yes, Jimmy Butler is a Jordan brand athlete, and I know that, you know, because of Michael Jordan's ties to Chicago, they opened the first ever only Jordan brand store in Chicago earlier this year. Like, I haven't been to it yet, but there's a store in downtown Chicago that's not a Nike store. It only sells Jordan brand stuff. It doesn't sell regular Nike stuff. So they have a presence in Chicago. And for somebody like, yeah, I mean, Chris Paul is a Jordan guy. Blake Griffin is a Jordan guy. Russell Westbrook is a Jordan guy. Russ has his own. Like, two of those guys, Chris and Russ, have their own signature shoes with Jordan brand. So, I mean, that is going to, that it could be a selling point, and Jimmy Butler could, you know, sell them on it. But at the same time, like, you look at each one of those guys. I mean, maybe Blake. Who knows what Blake's going to do? He's the hardest one of those three guys to get a read on. But you look at Chris.
You think he's harder than Russ to get a read on?
Well, I think if Russ leaves, he's not coming to Chicago.
I would agree with that. But absolutely.
But with Chris Paul, we pretty much know he has never been out of the second round of the playoffs. Any if he leaves the Clippers, anywhere he goes, he wants to have a chance to win a title, and I don't think the Bulls are going to be the team that offers him that. But, you know, Blake and Russ are kind of interesting. I would if you made me guess whether the Bulls are going to get either of them, I would doubt it, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
The question was not get. The question was get a meeting.
Oh, I think the Jordan thing makes it reasonably likely that they'll get a meeting, but I don't think they'll actually get it.
That would be progress from some of the things we've seen in recent years.
Well, hey, they did. I mean, they usually get meetings with guys. They got a meeting with Carmelo Anthony. He was the runner-up, and they were the runner-up because he went back to New York, but he was deciding between New York and Chicago. They got in with LeBron and Bosh and Wade and all the guys in 2010. Certainly. Durant is the only one
wish you would have got a meeting with him, if only to showcase yourself for the future, maybe, too.
And we have no idea if the Bulls even asked for a meeting with Durant. Like, they didn't get one, obviously, because he met with the teams that he met with, and then he decided to go to the Warriors, which is something that had been kind of talked about for months. But as far, I have not heard anything about whether the Bulls even got a meeting. And I feel like if you're a GM, if you're any GM in the league, even if you're a team like, I don't know, Detroit or, like, Milwaukee or something, even if you're a team that has zero chance of ever getting Kevin Durant, you have to at least call his agent and ask if you can get a meeting.
Sean is a huge proponent of always calling the agent.
Shoot your shot.
Shoot
your shot.
Until
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
A hard no. On that.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Iverson's motto. Like, shoot until your shoulder hurts.
Speaking of you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, can we talk about Dwayne Wade's successor in Miami? Dion Waiters.
Your boy, Dion Waiters.
Dion Waiters.
1 year, $2.9 million contract.
No.
Right?
Woj reported that it's 2 for 6.
But
the second year is a player option. So it's probably, if he plays well, it's going to be a 1 year deal. And I just really want, first of all, because when Waiters got traded from Cleveland to Oklahoma City in the middle of the 2014-15 season, apparently he asked the Thunder if he could wear number 13, which obviously was James Harden's number before that trade. And they told him no, so he wore number 23 instead.
Gonna wear 3 in Miami?
I think he has to ask, and I really want to see. Like, I feel like there's a chance that Pat Riley is petty and bitter about Dwayne leaving enough that he'll let Dion Waiters wear number 3. I would think that he'd probably know better than that. And he, like considering all the tribute stuff that they've done with Wade since he ended up leaving, and you know how regretful Riley is, but it's at least in the realm of possibility, and I could totally see Wade. By the way, if you go on Basketball Reference, Dion Waiters' official nickname is listed as Kobe Wade.
I had no idea.
That is true. It is. You can go on there right now and look it up. His nickname is Kobe Wade. So now he's in Miami. He's Dwayne Wade's successor, and I really hope he at least asks to get number 3, and that even if Pat Riley doesn't let him wear it, I want, so, like, Woj or somebody to report that he asked, and what the reaction was. I really want to see how that conversation
goes.
The
thing that I got a kick out of, someone tweeted this, and I wish I remembered who, maybe you'll know, but they tweeted, like, Dion Waiters walks into the meeting with Pat Riley and says, I want $100 million. Pat Riley says, $2.9 million. Dion Waiters says, I want $60 million. Pat Riley says, $2.9 million. Waiters says, I want $40 million. Pat Riley throws all his championship rings on the table, and Dion Waiters says, I'll take $2.9 million. Like, that's how I envision the entire conversation
well,
going
can
to.
We also talk, can we also talk about, like, Snapchat has become a recurring theme on this podcast now that Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union are in our lives as people who cover
in
the Bulls.
Our lives is a great way to put it.
Hassan Whiteside is a teammate of Dion Waiters now.
Go on.
Hassan Whiteside has an excellent Snapchat on his own right. Like, he was really, really, really impressed by Jay-Z's line, my wife Beyonce, I brag different, in his new song with DJ Khaled. Like, there's been several Snapchats where he's playing that line and he just, like, is talking about, oh my gosh, that's a bar. And Hassan Whiteside is also a regular recurring character in DJ Khaled's Snapchat. And so I'm thinking there's a chance that Dion Waiters is also going to be a
How many Snapchat accounts do you follow in the NBA? All of them?
No. I only I follow the Bulls guys. I follow, like, Evan Turner because he's really good. Draymond Green is really good. And then I follow Whiteside.
Okay. Well, we will definitely keep you updated, as always, on the Snapchat happenings in the NBA. On all Bulls happenings at all times. NBA or USA Basketball coming this week.
This week. Dwayne Wade presser on Friday.
Dwayne Wade presser on Friday. As always, you can email us questions at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Advertising inquiries to the same email address. Hit us up on Twitter, at LockedOnBulls, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlin. Where do they find us, Sean?
Subscribe to us on iTunes, subscribe to us on Stitcher, we're on Audio Boom. Leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. And we will be back with you tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.